Scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 50. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones."
So it might come as no surprise to you to hear that when I've been sick for a week and can't really keep my eyes open to focus on anything or read anything or do anything constructive, really, I spend a lot of time thinking about the upcoming sermon series. Because what else am I going to do? And so I've spent a lot of time over the past week or so thinking about light. And I've realized that light is really this pretty amazing, almost miraculous thing. I mean, think about this. A small burst of light can travel an incredible distance in an instant. Light from stars that are trillions of miles away can travel for thousands of years and still be visible to our eyes. Light lets us see colors. It lets us distinguish faces and places as we look around the world. Light is this incredibly powerful thing. And yet, it's also really not all that powerful. I mean, without too much effort, you can block a normal stream of light, right? With a file folder, hold up your hand. I could pretty easily build myself a room that would be completely devoid of light, much easier than I could build a room that would be devoid of sound. So light has all this power, and yet with very little effort, we can completely shut it out of our lives. See, as we're moving through this series about being the light, this is what I want us to think about this morning, that the light of Christ, the very light that we want to be, has all this power, and yet with very little effort, we can completely shut it out. But before we get there, we need to think about this story with Joseph. Now, we just get the very end of a story that's been going on for like the last fourth of the book of Genesis. It's a long, long section, so we need to back up to know how we got to this point with Joseph. And so you might remember that Joseph is the second youngest of all his 12 brothers, right? So he's number 11 in the sequence. And he's his dad's favorite. You know, parents aren't supposed to have favorites, but Jacob did. And Jacob didn't even, you know, try to pretend that he didn't. He was open and said, "You're my favorite." And he gave him all sorts of gifts, including this amazing Technicolor dream coat or something, right? You might have heard a musical about this sort of thing. And so Joseph gets this amazing coat, and then he has a dream. And in this dream, Joseph realizes that all of his brothers, even his own father, are one day going to bow down before him. Every older brother's dream come true, right? I finally get to bow to my younger brother. So understandably, the older brothers get a little jealous, they get a little upset, and they come up with a plan. They're gonna get rid of this problem. They're gonna make sure they never have to bow down to Joseph, and so they throw Joseph into a pit. But just as they throw Joseph into a pit, a caravan comes traveling by, and never being ones to miss the chance to make a buck, they take Joseph back out of the pit and instead sell him off into slavery, and Joseph is taken off to Egypt. And so we have Joseph now going off into Egypt. We're going to fast forward through a whole bunch of stuff that's really important. You should go back and read it, but we don't have time for it today. And all of a sudden, there's a famine that's come across the land. And Joseph's brothers and everybody else in the land are starving. But they hear that there's food in Egypt. And so Joseph's brothers get themselves together and they decide they're going to travel and beg for help from the Egyptian rulers. And when they get there, who should they find but their brother, who they sold into slavery, who was supposed to be dead, but who has risen up through the ranks and has become second in command to Pharaoh. So Joseph welcomes them in with open arms. There's a little bit more intrigue in this part of the story, but again, we're doing the fast version. So he welcomes them in with open arms. The Pharaoh gives the brothers the best of the land in Egypt, says, come, bring all your families. Come and be a part of our community. You are welcome because we love Joseph, so you are loved here as well. And so everybody comes, even Joseph's dad, Jacob, makes the journey to Egypt, and everybody's just so happy at this reunion. And then Jacob dies. And suddenly Joseph's brothers think to themselves, what if Joseph is still mad about us throwing him in the pit and selling him into slavery? What if he's been holding off revenge because dad was still alive, but now that dad's dead, he's going to come and get us? And so they devise another plan, and they tell another lie to get out of the lie that they had told to their father about what happened to Joseph in the first place. And they come to Joseph and they say, look, on dad's deathbed, dad said you should forgive us. It's a pretty good story, right? I mean, if you're going to try to appeal to emotion of your brother, say, hey, on dad's deathbed, his last wish was that you would be sure to forgive us. And when Joseph hears this is my favorite part of the story. When Joseph hears this, we hear he weeps. He weeps. And there's a lot of reasons he could be weeping, but here's what I think is happening. Suddenly, Joseph is acutely aware that his brothers don't understand the forgiveness that he has offered them. They don't understand the process of reconciliation that they've gone through. They don't understand the joy that was in his heart when they came and joined him in Egypt. And so Joseph weeps. Because his brothers can't see what God has done through Joseph's life. And so Joseph's response is where our story turns to this idea of how we either choose to hide or share the light of Christ. See, Joseph's response is, even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good so that we could save a great and numerous people. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good. Joseph has this opportunity and says to his brothers, look, you tried to hurt me. You tried to put all sorts of cracks and holes in my life. But I'm going to show you those cracks. I'm going to show you the very cracks that you caused. And then I'm going to show you how God has been able to shine light through those cracks, how God's light has shone to an entire nation of people who are now fed during a famine. Because the cracks are where the light of God can come through. So you can imagine that we have our life and we're carrying around this pot that contains the light of God. Right? And we get to carry these pots everywhere we go. When we go to the store, when we go to school, when we go to work, when we're at home, we're just carrying these pots. And as you can imagine, if you had to carry a pot everywhere you went, every once in a while you might run into something. You get a little chip, or you get a little crack in your pot. And even though the pot at first is this whole and beautiful thing, and it's gorgeous to look at, eventually it's got cracks all over it. You lose a job, chip. Diagnosed with an illness, crack. Thrown into a pit and sold into slavery by your brothers, crack. Your house is broken into, crack. And it doesn't take long, as you can imagine, to have a pot that feels like it's just covered in cracks. It might even feel like it's not beautiful anymore. It might feel like it's not worth looking at anymore. Think about Joseph's pot. Thrown into a pit. Sold into slavery. Alone in a foreign land, thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit. All these cracks covering his pot, and then his brothers show up. And Joseph is faced with a choice. See, Joseph could turn his pot and show his brothers this pristine and untouched section that's left. He could pretend like everything's fine because, hey, I'm the second most powerful man in Egypt. I can throw you in prison without a second glance. I have all the power over you, and you have no power over me. But Joseph knows that the light that's inside this pot can't shine through the side that's still pristine, that's still being presented as perfection. So Joseph turns the pot, shows his brothers the cracks, says, look, you tried to do harm to me. You meant to break my pot. You meant to break this apart. But at every step of the road, the light of God has shone through. At every step of the road, the light of God has shone through my cracks and has been shining on those around me. So this is the thing about the pots that we carry all our life. We're told that we're supposed to be perfect, that our pot is best when it's pristine and untouched. And so we think that that's the side that we have to present to the world around us, because we have this culture that says everything has to be just right. You have to have the perfectly manicured lawn. You have to have just the right house, the perfect kitchen. You have to drive to the perfect job and tell everyone about your perfect family. And it seems like everyone really appreciates that. But the fact of the matter is, we are all just trying to hide the cracks in our pot. And when we're hiding the cracks, we're hiding the very light of Christ that shines within. See, we get a choice. We have an opportunity to turn our pot around, to let the light of Christ shine through the cracks in our life so that others can see that light. See, as long as we have this perfect and untouched pot, then the light can only get out the top, and we can see it, which I guess is well and good. It's an important reminder that the light of God is with us, but it's not being shared with anyone that's around us. It's only when we have a chance to show others our cracks that the light of God can shine through. The hard reality is that the world won't know what to do with us when we do this, because the world wants us to present this perfect, austere presentation of ourselves. The world doesn't know what to do when we start showing our cracks. And so we share a story of our struggle with depression, and the world says, oh, you're just being too sad. We share our story of wrestling with grief over the loss of a spouse, and the world says, yeah, you should be over that by now. We share our story of struggling with addiction, and the world says, I don't want to hear about your bad choices. The world's not ready, but this is how the light of Christ shines. And here's the truth. Someday, when we keep showing the world our cracks, someone will see that crack, will hear your story, and they will see the light of Christ because of the crack that you have shown them. And their life will be forever changed because you let them see how God worked even in your darkest, most painful moments. And someday, we'll all realize that we're just cracked pots, but the light of Christ gets to shine through us all. God loves each of you, and I do too.